Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome to No Compromise Radio Ministry. Mike Abendroth at the helm here. Where is Steve? Where are those Wednesday guests? If you'd like to be on No Compromise Radio as a guest, it's open now to the highest bidder. I saw one Christian website recently. They said they needed $115,000 to function for the next year. $115,000. You might get what you pay for. I know that line. But the budget for No Compromise Radio Ministry, now that we're not on the radio, I want to say it's about $2,000 a year. You say, "Mike, do you get a cut of that?" No. $2,000 a year is about probably what we spend, and we spend $2,000 a year on, we do give some books away. I know not many. Some parts break, some pieces of equipment breaks. We might have headphones that break or, you know, microphone or something like that. I do need some little SD discs once in a while and maybe an update somewhere else. But everything else, we have website folks that help and people that put the bumpers on. That's all, I mean, $2,000 or less. Can you imagine? I think that's good stewardship. I think that should make you want to send in stuff right now. So instead of sending money, I got an Amazon gift certificate the other day from Josh sent me that, $50. I have received coffee and no hats. Jill is always nice to send a variety of henos, hats, cups, that kind of stuff. Erin, sometimes she, by the way, if you do not listen to Equipping Eve, if you're a lady, you should. I think you'd be encouraged, edified, equipped, Eve-like. And she is on the NoCo feed. Can you imagine? NoCo production, Equipping Eve. That should jack up our prices right there, too. So we should probably be up to like $115,000 per year because of that. I think she got set up for her equipment for probably a couple thousand dollars as well. So these places charge a lot of money. I don't know what to tell you. So instead of charging money, we just sell books. Sexual Fidelity, No Compromise. Order it online. In front of me, I have a variety of things. 1950s. Advice for the housewife. I guess my point is going to be this. You've come a long way, baby. I remember those Virginia Slim commercials. I remember Marlboro Man commercials as well. And the Marlboro company, they tried to figure out how do you get women and men to smoke our cigarettes. Men, they didn't want to have a filter. And they had to get a couple Marlboro men to teach men it was okay to smoke with a filter. But what we have here is from a website, and this is advice for the wife. I didn't make this up. I'm not saying every one of these is good. I have a godly Proverbs 31 wife. I know Proverbs 31 is really a Proverbs 31 man. If you're a Proverbs 31 man, you pick this kind of wife. I get it. Read your Bibles. Have dinner ready. plan ahead even the night before to have a delicious meal ready on time for his return. This is a way of letting him know that you have been thinking about him and are concerned about his needs. Most men are hungry when they come home, and the prospect of a good meal, especially his favorite dish, is part of the warm welcome needed. Was not it Luther who said something like, make husbands, you know, live in such a way that when you get home, your wife's, you know, make sure your husband is happy to come home, wives, and husbands, make your wife sad when you leave. Something like that. Make it sad that you've left. What do? We just sit in this room by ourselves and laugh. Now, I sometimes think of certain listeners, certain NoCo folks, and maybe it's John in Idaho, and I can just kind of imagine, here's this big barbecue connoisseur. He's listening to NoCo, and maybe Bible-thumping Wingnut, he's listening in his truck. Now, that kind of stuff. So I sometimes picture, I visualize people that are here. We have come a long way when it comes to men and women and one role. The reason why I was thinking about this the other day is because, according to Drudge Report, they listed an article that men and women, they have the same brains, same kind of brain. You know, there's no real difference. I don't know, maybe brains are the same. It's the hormones or something, but men and women are different. And we complement one another. You go back before the fall, men and women are complementary. There's male and female, and we need to embrace the differences. Sometimes I imagine when I'm talking Fred, and Fred saying, Mike, no more dreaded parenthetical reruns. We're going to have Fred on. I'm going to interview him next week, actually, and we'll put him to the test. I hope he's doing his homework. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the word. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Let each of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. A simple reading, a plain reading, a normal reading of the Bible will show you the differences between men and women, their equality in Christ, Galatians 3:28, yet their different functions. And we cannot make the mistake that submission means inferiority. A different role means inferiority. That would be to buy into the world's thinking, and we want to have your mind renewed by what the Bible teaches. If men and women are justified by faith alone, through faith alone, based upon the merits of Christ, men and women are just as justified. Just as justified? Justly justified. They are justly justified, just as justified, counted just as if they've perfectly obeyed, like the Lord did, and counted as if they've never sinned, because the Lord never did. We are seen through the righteous robes of Christ, seen through the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Now, when I read this, it just seems old-fashioned, doesn't it? And maybe some of it is a little old-fashioned. Or is it? Prepare yourself. Take 15 minutes to rest so you'll be refreshed when he arrives. Touch up your makeup, put a ribbon in your hair, and be fresh-looking. It's just been with a lot of work-weary people. Take a nap. Take a rest before your husband gets home. So you'll be refreshed. Now, here's the thing. I regularly talk to men and say, when you drive home and you want to be served, men, you should say to yourself, my wife has been busy with the kids all day and doing a variety of other things. She's worked harder than I have, most likely, and I should serve her. Honey, how could I serve you? I love to say that to my wife. Not because I think I'm so great and godly. It's just a good thing to say if I say it like I mean it. And instead of saying, I want to be served, I should go home and say, how can I serve my wife? That's real love, laying down my life for hers, wanting what's best. If I want to work out and relax, wouldn't she want that? Now, can you imagine if both husband and wife decided, oh, here's the way to go out of my way to show love / respect to my spouse, depending on your different roles. Be a little gay and a little more interesting for him. His boring day may need a lift And one of your duties is to provide it. Well, when I get home and my wife's mad, I'd rather have her be gay. Just a little gay. Number four, clear away the clutter. Make one last trip through the main part of the house just before your husband arrives. Run a dust cloth over the tables. One of the things about being taller is my wife can't see, since she's shorter than I am. I used to be 6'2", probably 6 foot now with bad back, bad disc, L4, L5, L5, S1. Not that I'm counting. I can see what's on top of the refrigerator, so I have a stash up there. If the kids are wanting to get in a candy or something, I want to have the last couple pieces. I stash it up there. It gets pretty dusty, but she can't see. So maybe if you really want to go out of your way, you like dust off the top of the fridge. Over the cooler months of the year, you should prepare a and light a fire for him to unwind by. Your husband will feel he has reached a haven of rest and order, and it will give you a lift too. After all, catering for his comfort will provide you with immense personal satisfaction. Now let's just flip it around here for a second, because my point is not to goad the women. My point is to say, husbands and wives, we are to, in humble submission to the Lord, love, submit, respect, whatever God has ordained your particular roles. Ephesians chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 3. Our roles are not symmetrical, in other words. And so we have different ways that we can show love toward our spouses and please the Lord as we serve them. Think about when you first were dating, if you don't have an arranged marriage, if you have love marriage, think about all the things you would do and think about and want to please, and the years take the toll. If you say to yourself, I want to serve him and love him at my own cost, there is a personal satisfaction and you have a contentment in the Lord because you're serving the Lord. If you say, I'm going to do this, Lord, because you want this to happen, and I also love my spouse, I think that's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that. And initially, primarily, we have the husband. If he's the leader, he's the one that should be doing this for his wife as well. Maybe you trade off. Maybe 2 days for the husband, he lays down his life for the wife, and the other day, the wife responds. My point is not to get after ladies. My point is to show we can love our spouses in such a way that the world would say, you're wasting your life. You deserve more. You are stooping low. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ and think about how he washed the feet of the disciples. Consider John 13. Consider 1 Peter as the submitting son of God, the suffering servant, Isaiah 40 to 48. And the list could go on. You watch the way Jesus served people. He could have called others to serve him, and the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve others, right? He came to seek and save those that are lost, but he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Minimize all noise. At the time of his arrival, eliminate all noise of the washer, dryer, or vacuum. Encourage the children to be quiet. That one's a little weirder. I don't really know about that. I would say put the Frank Sinatra music on, Pandora, Frank Sinatra channel, or something like that. Hide the kids. That's what I would want. Don't come out of the room. I was taught back when I was first a Christian that when your children run to the door, when they're little and daddy comes home or mommy comes home, that if you're a husband, hug your mom. Hug your mom. Hug your wife. I mean, isn't that so funny? We end up calling our spouses mom. My wife is mom. Hug your wife first and kiss her, and then the kids try to squeeze in and squeeze in between and all that, and then love on the kids. I thought that was a good idea, though, because one day the kids will go, hopefully, and it'll just be you two. The next one, be happy to see him. Now, that is very important, I think, for both. Maybe there's a situation and the husband's disabled and the wife has to go out to work, and these things can be switched around. I understand that. See, how many times can we give you like the disclaimer? Be happy to see him. Here's the next one. Greet him with a warm smile and show sincerity in your desire to please him. Okay. Better than a cold smile. With a cold Klondike bar. These days I'm obsessed with Klondike bars. They have the Slim Bears for 100 calories. And at night, then you could have two serving sizes, too. That's only 200 calories compared to 1,500 calories for chubby hubby Ben and Jerry's. Listen to him. You may have a dozen important things to tell him, but the moment of his arrival is not the time. Let him talk first. Remember, his topics of conversation are more important than yours. Now, see, that one I wouldn't go for. Many of these, serve your spouse, love your spouse, sacrifice for your spouse, that would make a good marriage. That would make the Lord pleased, practically pleased. But that one, I'd flip it around and say, you've talked to people all day. Maybe your wife has only talked to the two-year-old and the cat and the dog. And so let her talk. Make the evening his. Never complain if he comes home late or goes out to dinner or other places of entertainment without you. Instead, try to understand his world of strain and pressure and his very real need to be at home and relax. Your goal, to try and make sure your home is a place of peace, order, and tranquility where your husband can renew himself in body and spirit. Okay, all joking aside, I think that's a good goal. What's the goal of a worker at home? Like it or not, the Bible does talk about ladies who are workers at home. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanders or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and to train, so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. You want to slander the word of God? You want to blaspheme the word of God? You want to revile the word of God? Then don't submit to your husband and ignore these verses. Don't be a worker at home. I'm not saying a lady can never have a job outside the home. I think it's unwise, 99 times out of 100, to have the woman work while the children are at daycare. I know there's exceptions. It's a single mom, and I get all that. I've been around the block. I understand. But what we try to do here at the church is, if you're going to get married, then you should have a budget based on the husband's income, so you don't need to have the wife work, so you can still have that same kind of house. Just get a smaller house. I know it's difficult to be at home with the kids. I've tried it. And when my wife goes out of town and I've got the kids alone, I'm very thankful for her and how she lays down her life to train up the children and to raise the children. But the text is the text. Working at home. You have priorities, ladies, and that priority has to be the home. Workers at home. I guess you could be at home and not be a worker and be not at home and be a worker at home. Some ladies I know really run their household well. I remember Kim's foster mother, when she lost her parents at a very young age, tragically. Her foster mother was married to a pastor, and that mother would put those kids to bed at 9:30 at night, and at 10:30 at night she'd go to the hospital. She was an RN. She would work, come back at 6, make breakfast, get the kids off to school, and then crash. I understand all this, but I'm just trying to focus back to the text, and I guess my point of the show is, don't these seem arcane and archaic and, I don't know, passé? Another generation ago, this was fine, but not for us. And some of these, of course. These aren't necessarily from the Bible, it's just from the 1950s. What do you want? Don't greet him with complaints and problems. Make him comfortable. Have him lean back in a comfortable chair. Have him lie down in the bedroom. Have a cool or warm drink ready for him. Okay, it's just what it says. Arrange his pillow and offer to take off his shoes. Speak in a low, soothing, and pleasant voice. Not like Edith Bunker. Achie. What if you married a wife that has a disconcordant, bad resonance kind of voice? Nasally. I don't know. Don't ask him questions about his actions or question his judgment or integrity. Remember, he is the master of the house and as such will always exercise his will with fairness and truthfulness. You have no right to question him. Now, the biblical thing was, we have husband and wife, and the husband needs the wife as a helper. I don't know what I would do without my wife, as I've said before. I think posted it somewhere. She came up with the idea for the show and probably is the brains behind NoCo Radio. I'm just the puppet. She can question me. I think she has to do it in a submissive way, in a kind way, in a godly way. There's a godly way to disagree. And then at the end of the day, if the husband has any sense, as he has confided in the wife and prayed with the wife and talked about it, if they do disagree, the husband needs to say, honey, I thank you for your input. I disagree with you. I think we're going to have to go this direction. And she might not like it, but that's the way it goes. That's just a biblical thing. But this one here from the 50s, you have no right to question him. I think if you question integrity, that would be the opposite of Ephesians chapter 5 about respecting. And then finally, in the list of the 50s here, a good wife always knows her place. I don't know, is this show going to get me in trouble? Likewise, the younger men are urged to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model, Titus, of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Slaves are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, non-argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior. I love to read Titus, and it talks about God, our Savior. I believe in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, you'll hear that refrain as well. What do pastors, what do church legates need to know? All kinds of things, including God's sovereign. God is sovereign over things, and pastors need to know that. That's true. But here it says, God, our Savior. And God is a saving God. When you're ministering and things are difficult, and you've got your own sin to deal with, and the congregation's sin, and the world, and the invisible forces are controlled by Satan, it's nice to know God saves. Isn't that a good thing to know? God saves. And I think if you analyze your role as loving leader, husbands, and willing follower, wives, in light of salvation, it would be much more beneficial. It's easier. And then you think, all to him I owe, right? God has saved me, and that's the least I could do is to love my wife. So even today, it's probably, I don't know, what time is it right now? 4:30 in the afternoon, and I cannot wait to get home and have that comfortable chair to lean back in and have that cool, warm drink ready for me and to have my pillow arranged and to have my shoes taken off. That would be wonderful, but what would be better? It'd be better if I went home and said, hey, honey, let me take care of that for you. Did you get to go to the gym? I mean, see, for me, the big one is I need to go to the gym. I need to go work out. And if I have that desire, and I know my wife likes to work out too, I try to make sure my day is arranged so I can work out. Probably the right thing to do would for me to say, I need to make sure my wife's day is arranged so she gets to work out. That's the way it should work. And when I think it's something that would be good for me and I would like it, well, then most of the time, my wife would like the same thing. So I would suggest if husbands, you would like a wife that would be like this. Let's cut out all the unbiblical stuff. But the biblical stuff that's in here from the 50s, if you'd like to have a wife like that, then why don't you be the husband first? And this is what I do know about ladies. If you are a loving leader, they will respond. And that's what happens with leadership. People do respond. So instead of saying, I can't wait for my wife to do that, why doesn't she do it? Then it's time for you, Mr. Husband, you can be the leader. Wouldn't that be nice? I think wives who are godly would love to have a leader lead, especially in this area of eliminating all noise of the washer, dryer, or vacuum. Maybe you need to fix it so it's not so loud. My name is Mike Avenroth. This is No Compromise Radio. Today's been about the 1950s, and maybe that's why they called them the Happy Days. Monday, Tuesday, Happy Days.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Avenroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbcchurch.org or by phone at 508-835-3400. The thoughts and opinions expressed on No Compromise Radio do not necessarily reflect those of WVNE, its staff, or management.